Thank you, Mr. Russell. Good afternoon, Devin, and I hope everyone is having a great and wonderful Sabbath so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and we pray you are as well. I know our weather here in Puerto Rico this week has been very warm. It's been in the mid-90s. We've had some sporadic rain come in throughout the last couple of days, including yesterday, but it's still pretty warm, and for this time of year, definitely on the island. Well, brethren, today I want to talk about something that is of great importance and relevance in our lives due to the impending nature of everything that is currently happening around us in this world. Current events in the United States, such as race riots, looting, burning down businesses, destruction of police property, intimidation, lawlessness, and complete disregard for established curfews and law enforcement are what stream the headlines these days. Also, we cannot forget about the ongoing epidemic with the coronavirus, but it seems the protesters have forgotten there is a virus going on in the country as well. If somebody can mute their phone, I'm hearing somebody talking in whisper. If you can mute your phone, *6, or just mute if you're using a cell phone, please. In addition, we just officially started hurricane season on June 1st, and although there were small systems that formed before the official start date, we see how a recently tropical storm, Cristobal, made landfall throughout Central America and the southern Gulf states. Furthermore, there is an immense amount of hatred toward our president, Donald J. Trump, with constant attacks from the liberal left-wing media and everything in the news, from former cabinet members speaking out against him, and how everyone seems to want him out of office, and resort to creating chaos around the nation to have this happen. Brethren, these are troubling times indeed, because Satan and his demons are out there in this physical world creating as many problems as possible, in the hearts of mankind to do evil instead of good, and wanting America to fall from the biblical principles it was founded upon. With so much negativity going around in the news, in the lives of people, and in everything we read, either in the newspaper, magazine, or internet, it seems that our nation is in great need of a solution. The violence, lies, and deceit that people create on a daily basis do not help in the protection of civil liberties and protection of the general population itself. There is also great consideration that needs to be given to the people that have bad illnesses, not just the coronavirus, because other diseases did not just disappear overnight because of this virus. Also, we see people who we love and are a part of our daily life that have passed away during the years. And when we feel like we need them the most, we often feel alone during these difficult times in our lives because of an empty gap in our hearts and minds. The U.S., in fact, the entire world, seems like it is falling into complete disorder because of all that is happening around us. However, when it is the most that we are afraid and concerned of what is happening now and what is still to come in this world, we need to turn our attention to God and His Son, Jesus, to provide the solution in our hearts and minds during these difficult times, brethren. In fact, the title for today's sermon is feel. Fear not. God will heal. Throughout this sermon, we will look at how God heals us by different means, and how His healing is crucial, especially when it comes to issues relating to what is going on in our world today, as well as in our lives. We will be looking at four different things that make up the sermon for today. And of those four, two are physical healing, and two are spiritual healing. I'm sorry, I'm still hearing somebody speak over the phone line, whispering. If you could mute the, your phone, please, star 6. Star 6 will mute the line so that we can have a clear message, please. The first two areas we will look at are the healing of sickness and healing of our hearts, which are physical. Next, the final two areas we will look at for today, and healing of our spirit. Now, we will be going over quite a few scriptures for today's sermon. Today's sermon is actually on the long end, but I think it is important to take into consideration what the Word of God says, especially when it comes to healing. This is something that merits our attention, brethren. This is an issue that will help us get through some of the most difficult times we can go through in our lives. And regardless of what is happening in the physical world we live in, we can be certain that God and His Son, Jesus the Christ, are in charge of our lives. Healing is something that needs to be taken into consideration, especially if we are to endure everything that life and this world throws in action. Each of these four areas represent an important element of what happens to us in our lives, and all be kept in consideration if we are allow God to intervene in our lives. Now, with that background in mind, let us look at some background with the word heal. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word heal has three different meanings. One, to make free from injury or disease, to make sound or whole, to make well again, to restore health. Two, to cause an undesirable condition to be overcome, mend, to patch up or correct a breach or division. And number three, to restore to original purity or integrity. Also, the word heal has two definitions from the Strong's Concordance. Strong's Concordance 2386, from the Greek word iama, which is spelled I-A-M-A, meaning healing, curing, remedy. Strong's Concordance 7495, which is spelled R-A-P-H-E, meaning to heal. Now, the biblical application of the word healing appears in Scripture between 138 to 149 times, depending on which translation you're using of the Bible. This is including the word heal and its other variations, such as healing, healed, healing, etc. This word is so important, so unique, to what happens to us in our daily lives, that it is written in our Bible that many times. God knew beforehand and understood that mankind would need the concept of healing to be an important part of our daily lives. And the different applications that we will go through this sermon will demonstrate that. Let us examine the first two areas of physical healing for today's sermon. And that is, first, looking at God's healing of sickness. Brethren, even way before the coronavirus and during biblical times, since the creation of mankind in the Old Testament, there have always been diseases around us. In every nation around the world, God knew firsthand that disease would be something mankind would have to deal with because of the many sins presented forth by different nations, evident in Scripture. God sent plagues to the nations for their disobedience, but He did not do so without having a solution in mind. The two examples I want to draw from physical healing of sickness are on the Old Testament with David and in the New Testament with our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Let's begin today's sermon in the book of Psalms. Chapter 103, verses 1 through 11. Here we will read of David praising God. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 11. Reading out of the King James Version, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." Brethren, David in this psalm is blessing the Lord's character for how He is towards us. David knew everything God was able to do, and he blessed God for how He was towards mankind. He described God's grace and His mercy towards everything that can happen to us in our daily lives. Also, he mentions an important part in the second part of verse 11, when it says, "So great is His mercy towards them that fear Him." The fear of the Lord is also part of God's physical healing in our lives, because walking in His ways, keeping His statutes, and God will have mercy on us. Let's continue in the book of Psalms, but this time chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. verse 1 through verse 3. It says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed or troubled. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? David is talking in these verses we just read that I'm sure have happened to all of us at one point in our lives or another. And in most cases, if not all, this has occurred multiple times in our lives. We feel weak without much energy to do anything. We feel troubled because our physical bodies cannot bear the pain we are going through, or the agony created by any disease that might be present in our lives, or that was at some point. David presents the need to call out to God to heal in times of need, and so should we, always. No matter the circumstances, no matter the pain, no matter the situation, we should call on God to have mercy on us for when we are most troubled physically. Let's look at some New Testament examples with how the concept of healing is presented with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now, Jesus Christ had a great many examples in the New Testament of healing and miracles he performed during his time on this physical earth. So, I will only highlight a few just to mention and develop the constant of physical healing of sickness. Let's begin in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23. Here we will read about Jesus the Christ preaching in Galilee. Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease among the people. Let's continue in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, chapter 9. Verse 11. Here we read about Christ going into the city of Bethsaida. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. It says, And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And let's continue in the book of Luke, this time, chapter 10, verse 9. Luke, chapter 10, verse 9. It says, And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come near unto you. Brethren, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, is the center of how important it is for the physical healing in our lives to take place, whether it be from sickness, disease, something physical that is wrong with us. Christ demonstrates numerous times throughout the Gospel and the New Testament that he was able to heal all, regardless of the situation that any of the people might be in. In the same way, we should rely on God and Christ to strengthen us and be able to take all of the punishment that is sent our way. Remember, brethren, God allows for sickness to be a part of our lives, or anyone we love and feel close to, because God wants to restore our faith in him. And the way to do that is through the manifestation of the trial and tribulation, that is sickness. Now, I know that sickness is not easy. There is not a person out there that genuinely loves being sick. I can tell you that right now. It is painful, it is draining on the body and the mind, and we're never in the best of moods when it happens. But it seems to happen at the exact inopportune time in our lives. That part of it never fails. However, we need to be mindful that we are not alone during this process, brethren, and God and his Son, Jesus the Christ, are always out there watching over us, looking over us, and making sure that we are in the best care possible. Also, remember that God will not allow for any of us to be struck by something that we cannot handle, and that his protection will be with us always. Let's talk about the second area of healing for today's sermon with regards to physical healing, and that is God's healing of the heart. Our heart is at the very center of our lives, brethren. It is a muscle that not only determines the flow of blood for our entire body, but also it is where our emotions lie within, and ultimately what determines our outcome from the actions that we take. Our heart is crucial, especially when it comes to healing, because it could be filled with negative thoughts, negative emotions, negative feelings towards a person or situation. And our reaction to when it needs healing is an important part of who we are as Christians. Because our heart develops strong character in us. Also, our heart needs healing because we are human, brethren. And sometimes we might go through situations in our lives that make our heart heavy, and we feel burdened with problems that come up and circumstances that we feel are hopeless and we know we cannot control. However, there is nothing impossible for God, and his holy scriptures will show us just that. Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. Here we will read about Paul explaining the different gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Let's look at the book of Psalms once again. This time, chapter 41. And we'll pick up a few verses there and read about David's message to helping those in need. Psalms chapter 41, beginning in verse 1 through verse 4. It says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed on the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. And dropping down to verses 11 through 12, here in Psalms 41, it says, by this I know that thou hearest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Brethren, the words spoken here by Paul and David are truly unique, powerful, and very telling of what God does to us in our most troublesome times. Even when we are sinning, God is with us and comforts us and provides the healing of the heart to take into consideration what has happened in our lives. The scriptures are clear in that God would not allow our enemies to have gain in our lives. God will protect us always and even heal our heart and soul when it is most needed. Also, God provides the foundation of indicating that God will preserve us in our lives because God does not want any of us to stumble in anything that comes across our path. For our heart to be in the right place, we must let God take over our lives and be able to consider what is needed for us to rely in His healing, and He will provide it through the fulfillment of His word. Let's turn now to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 14 through 17. Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 14 through 17. It says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. The words spoken by Jeremiah remind us that God has in mind the best intentions with our hearts even. We must always give the praise and honor to God, especially when it comes from our most difficult times. God will heal our hearts and make us right in His way. We just have to trust in His Word, the Holy Bible that we have in our laps at this very moment, and make sure that we are right in the faith, because there can be no evil that can overtake our hearts because of the amazing ability God has to heal us. Let's go to the New Testament now, to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. Here we will read about the time Jesus was preaching on the Sabbath day in Nazareth and opened the book of Isaiah to read. Luke chapter 4, reading now verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Brethren, the words spoken here by our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, relate directly to the prophecy set forth in the book of Isaiah. Specifically, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 2, when it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Brethren, these words are incredibly powerful, and Jesus Christ spoke them in reference to the book of Isaiah because He wanted everyone there present, and also for us to know that He is our comforter. He will heal us, as even with our broken hearts, regardless of the situation we are facing in our daily lives, because He was sent here as a demonstration of the love of God for mankind, and not to be imprisoned with mourning the entirety of our lives. Let's look at the third area for today's sermon, and that is God's healing of the world. This is the third area we will look at for today, but the first spiritual one I want to focus on because of the meaning this has. Now, as you may know, through the news media outlets, social media outlets, magazines, newspapers, you name it, even our own Church of God and Truth weekly newsletter, the world is not in good shape by any means. The level of spiritual and physical corruption that is in this world, caused by mankind, is unprecedented. And every week that goes by, we learn about something new that is taking place that affects us in our our daily struggle to keep up with current events. Satan and his demon have corrupted the minds of those entrusted to do the best for the people. And nations are just filled with abominations, lusts, and no regard for human life, because people just want to live their way, according to the world, and not according to God's word. The world needs healing on a scale that only God can provide, and there is nothing man can do alone to make things better, because the only thing possible for mankind to do is to make things worse. The world needs healing because there is no other way to correct the wrong done by man. Let's turn back to the book of Jeremiah once again, this time in chapter 14, verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 19. Judah? Hast thou so loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten? And there is no healing for us. We looked for peace, and there is no good. And for the time, and behold, trouble. Brethren, doesn't this verse seem familiar to what is going on around the world today? Nations upon nations looking for healing because of all the problems surrounding governments, political leaders, famine, disease, and everything else happening. The only constant countries see today is the troubled cause that Jeremiah is referencing, because there seems to always be wanting a solution to be presented by man. This world wants to be healed through man's own actions, and does not consider the possibility of God intervening, because mankind and its human nature want to rely on their own knowledge and science, not God's great power to heal what is wrong with the world today. Let's turn now to the book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 20. Psalms 107, verse 20. It says, He sent His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Now let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1-3. A very familiar set of verses to all of us. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1-3. It says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Brethren, these last two scriptures indicate that God, in His timing, has everything in mind to heal the world at His will, during any moment in our lives. We see chaotic destruction in this world today because of everything that is happening around us. But God is in charge, and He will heal this world because there is a time for everything. And this destruction and problems we see around the world filled with evil will not be forever. There is healing that will take place, and God will provide it. Let's look at what Jesus Christ said about this in the New Testament by turning to the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 17. Luke, chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And now let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Matthew chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. It says, "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship with their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." The influence Jesus Christ had during the time that he was on this earth was unlike anything else seen before by mankind. Christ healed people from all walks of life, from literally anywhere in this world, and his fame grew as we just read in these verses. His fame spread throughout the different lands, and he was able to exert his healing on the people and provided the world with the means to be healed when it needed to. The people that lived during these times witnessed the incredible power Jesus Christ had. And the healing of the world could not be possible without the Son of God present. Christ is at the center of how the world can be healed. And in the same way he did it when he was on this earth, so too does the world today need him to return when God chooses that day. Let's look now at the fourth and final area that deals with healing for today. That is, God will heal our spirit, brethren. This second spiritual healing is one that is incredibly important, because if we are not right in spirit, we can have no positive outcome of what comes out of our life, because we will not be in the correct mindset, the correct frequency, and the adequate attitude for what is to come. Our spirit needs healing because our spirit is what is in constant battle against the elements of the flesh, against the forces of evil that are in this world. And our spirit is what separates us as God's called children from the rest of the world. God provides healing to our spirit, because it is inherently important that he do this, because it is something we cannot do alone. During our daily routine, and anytime we go out into the world, there is Satan and his demons out there to try to cause havoc in our lives. But we cannot let them influence any of the decisions we make, because our spirit is filled with a commitment made during our baptism of accepting the role God has for each and every one of us. Let's turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts." Brethren, these words resonate in an incredible way, because God will intervene in the most unique, powerful, and best way possible for us to take charge and have our spirit healed for the days to come. We need God's healing of our spirit in order to achieve a level of spiritual character that resembles the only way to combat evil in whatever form that is. The fear of the Lord is key to our spiritual healing, because we have to make sure that we trust in the Lord and that we will grow in our way to prevail through God's perfect plan. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Brethren, Jesus Christ is the epitome of how the healing of our spirit needs to be. Christ established himself in this world with the power given from his Father, our Lord God, and was able to have the healing power needed for all people who were of troubled spirit. Jesus Christ represents the healing of the spirit in the most unique way because of the attribute and ability to do the will of God the Father. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. James, chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Confess your faults to one another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Brethren, these words spoken by James highlight an important context in the development of spiritual healing. And that is that we must be able to pray for one another, especially during these difficult and trying times. James makes note of this because of the crucial importance it is for us as God's called children to continue in the constant and daily prayer for one another. Our spirit depends on prayer and our constant communication with God. Our spirit needs to be lifted in the way it needs to. And with God on our side through constant prayer, our spirit will have the healing it needs. We need to not be afraid to do this daily, because God already knows our faults and weaknesses. We just have to confess them through our prayer and ask for guidance and spiritual healing. Let's look at the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 24. Here we will read about Peter talking about the example of Christ in our lives with regards to healing. 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 24. It says, Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. These words that we just read in 1 Peter 2:24 are a direct correlation of the words written by Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 53:5. You can put it in your notes. Isaiah 53:5, where it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions; he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the wounds he suffered during his time on this earth, are representative of how we will be healed in our spirit, brethren. Christ's own sacrifice, punishment, grueling pain, injuries, and just the physical beating he took was to make sure we would be healed. And our spirit needed this to make sure we are on the right page with this concept. There can be no doubt that Christ strengthened us through his sacrifice. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 1 through 3. Here we will read about the prophecy being fulfilled when the river of life is established. Revelation, chapter 22, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were from the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Brethren, this is truly a unique, absolute, incredible prophecy that will take place once God and his Son, Jesus Christ, return to this earth, and all of the cleansing of evil is gone away. Our spirit needs to be healed, and we must continue to strive for the kingdom of God, because Christ is there with us every step of the way in the process of healing that we need. Our spirit needs to be healed to make sure we can also take part of what is to come. We need not to fear what is happening around us today, whether our physical health, our heart, the world around us, and our spirit are all needing to be healed, because God is there with us every single step of the way. And even though it might seem at times we are suffering on the inside, God will heal us now and forever. Let's conclude today's sermon in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. made of Christ's own words to us as we face anything in our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." That does conclude my message for today. I will turn services over to Mr. Fleming for a closing song and introduction of the closing prayer. Mr.